now my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker with 5 years and 2 days of sobriety. Let's give it up for Britta.
Hello, I'm Britta. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Is that okay? Can you hear me? My sobriety date is July 22nd, 2014. I'm sorry. I'm shaking. I can't believe it's been 5 years and 2 days. It's like speechless what my life is today from before I got here. Thank you again, Bill, for asking me to share. I got to celebrate my birthday on Monday going to the courthouse for jury duty. I got to do the service. And when I walked in the courtroom, the last time I was there was in 2017, I went and got my misdemeanor expunged. I got my record cleared. And I just, the things that I got to do in this program, you know, what I get to do today, it's incredible. I'm shaking because it's incredible. So I'm a little nervous. So what was it like growing up? I grew up in Three Rivers. I had an older sister, a younger brother, mom and dad. You know, growing up, I felt like I was an alien. I didn't feel like I belonged. Like how everyone, you hear people's stories about how I just did not know how to live life. I honestly just did not want to make eye contact with anyone, and I was super shy and quiet. I just did not want to talk. Already, you know, in middle school, it was, you know, making fun of me because I couldn't say my R's, you know, speech therapy, always feeling, why am I different than other people? Having that done, you know, my mom did a lot of stuff for me, you know, waking up and my science projects are done. You know, waking up and things are done for me that I didn't have to apply myself to do. I just thought, okay, people can do stuff for me. So for that, I focused all my energy on volleyball. Like, I wanted to be the 6-foot blonde in Hawaii getting paid to play. That was my dream job. Fast forward, I went to high school at CBC, and most of the girls were 6'3", but I got on the volleyball team, and I was so stoked. But before my first game, I got in a horse accident. I fell off a horse, and I fractured my jaw and cracked my skull, and I could not play sports for 3 years. I was a tomboy. That's all I knew. That's all I thought I was good at. I wasn't really good in school. And so looking back at now, like all the different little addictions, I, you know, focused myself on finding jobs. I focused myself on, you know, food. You know, I substituted. And, you know, alcohol didn't come to play yet, but it was showing, you know, different things in my life to fill that void, to not want to deal with life. And I grew up in a Christian home, you know, always waking up Sundays, going to church, but it was hell because my mom was an alcoholic. You know, waking up and she was drunk and yelling, and my brother and sister would be running for cover, and I was that middle child that liked to egg her on and pester and get in trouble. You know, I was the one that talked back. I was the one that started stuff, you know. So I was always that rebel, but being that good chameleon, I'll do whatever you want me to do because I know I will get it, kind of attitude. Never had relationships, very, very shy with men, you know, in high school, anything. I just wouldn't even talk to them. My hair was seriously completely, like, down in my face. I was so timid, thought it was ugly. My mom put me on Jenny Craig for my sweet 16th birthday. She said, you need to lose weight. You know, you're really big. And so I lost a lot of weight in high school, and then I gained it all back. At that point, I was, you know, working at Glick's Meat Market, did not want to go to college, had no idea what I wanted to do. I hated it. And I ended up throwing myself an 18th birthday party, a surprise 18th birthday party, and I was really surprised. I remember asking all my friends, just pretend you're throwing it for me, okay? And it was like, Britta, like, you have to ask these. Anyway, so they got alcohol, and I got a cheesecake, and sing myself happy birthday, and, you know, got introduced to vodka, got introduced to other substances, and that's when that confident, like, oh yes, like, this is where I've been, you know, that it just sparked. And I love the feeling, I could do anything I want, and I ran with it. Got accepted at Cal State Stanislaus, and just am not a school person. You know, my mom would come home and I'd have D's, and she's like, oh, yes, you didn't get an F. I'm so proud of you. And I just didn't like school. And so I got accepted at college, and I remember sitting at our freshman function, you know, the whole aloha, you know, introducing freshmen, and I was the little girl in the corner, just like, going like this, and everyone is drinking and having fun, and I'm like, why can't I be like them? Like, why can't I, you know, have that courage? And why do I care what that person thinks of me, and they're not even looking at me? Like, I thought I was living in so much fear, and I didn't have that spiritual connection. Like, I just remember going to church, and always my mom said, put the smile on and be happy. And so that was programmed, you know, seeing someone, the smile, but seriously screaming bloody murder on the inside. You know, and so that's when I got up and I started drinking, and I made friends that I never thought I could. You know, I became that party animal, like in the big book, The Alcoholic Waiting to Happen. I'm Swedish and German, so I dared every guy to drink me under the table, which I blacked out a lot. So that didn't really work out. But I was that confident, I'll drink some more and then go around and throw up and then come back. And, you know, I just won't eat a couple days and I could eat, drink more. I was, you know, finding that solution so I could drink more. But it was horrible because I got kicked out of some classes. I wasn't showing up. But it was, you know, my sister, oh, take classes with me. And I was copping off of her and didn't have that identity. I had no clue who I was, honestly. When I graduated, I was like 250 pounds. Like, I was a big girl. And I was very self-conscious and worried about what people thought of me, that I was not smart enough, not good enough. And that's what I thought of myself. And with alcohol, it reminded me of my mom, how much she drank, and that scared me because I would constantly wake up places. I'm like, oh, shoot, how'd I get here? And I lost my cute shoes. I would lose shoes a lot. I didn't like losing shoes. or driving. That's not good. But so I got into other substances and always trying to find that next high, you know, and thinking, oh, well, that's good. I'm not, you know, I can do this. And, you know, I did the college thing for 5 years. I did the 5-year plan. And I remember my first senior year in college, I didn't have any friends at that point. They all kind of stopped talking to me. So I was drinking alone in my room. I had my Southern Comfort, and I'd be watching Will and Grace and just drinking. And then I'd be out of my bottle, and I'd walk across the street to this, called Season Tickets. It's a bar in Turlock, and just sit there and drink by myself. And I just, that's how I got. I was drinking by myself. And it sucked. And relationships, I didn't have any. I was like a committophobic, you know. Oh, watching him cheat with her, it was sad, and I didn't like it. So fast forward, that was my first senior year in college, and by this time, you know, in the last 4 years, I'd be calling my dad constantly, you know, I'm negative $500, I need money, and they would just be putting money in my account. It's okay, you do not need to work, college is what you need to do. And they didn't know anything I was doing, you know, and would it come home on holidays. I got super sick a couple of times. I just didn't talk to anybody. It was scary. But I got into something harder and ended up graduating in 2008 with my communications degree. I have my bachelor's in communications because that was easy for me to talk to people. And to be the customer service girl. I've been like that probably since I was 14. But at that time, I didn't spend time, what am I going to do with this degree? I was so caught up in my addiction, where am I going to get my next drink? When am I going to get that next feeling? It was always that chase, never planning on my future. And it was, you know, it was lonely. I met my ex-husband during this time, and you know, instead of getting a job, I decided to tell my parents, yeah, I'm working for this old lady, she needs help. And they're like, good, keep it up. And I was actually her runner. I was helping her out, healing, you know, and doing things you're, come on, I would never do, you know. And the consequences to that, it got really bad. And my parents were like, okay, you need to move back home. You need to start your life over again. And I went through really bad withdrawals coming home, and I had to suck it up with my family, and I would just drink to, you know, show them, like, I'm fine. And I got a job here, and it was an on-call job. And whenever I'd call in the morning, I'm like, do I have to work? They're like, nope. I would drive to Turlock to go see my boyfriend, like, every day coming back and forth. And so just lying to them, left and right. By that time, my mom and I got in a really big fight. And she was really drunk, and she said things, and my dad said, you need to leave. And when I left, I did not want to come home. I decided to live in my lime green slug bug with my boyfriend. I became homeless on my choice. It was wanting to do something so bad so I didn't have to feel who I was. Just running away from life. And I did that for 3 months, you know, walking in and out of Walmart with new clothes. And, you know, doing things, stealing, squat. I mean, things my mom, you know, I know right from wrong, and still doing them. You know, I would go to truck stops and have my interview outfit on and be like, oh, my card's not working. And, oh, here you go. Here's $20. Oh, thank you. And, you know, stay there long enough. You got $500 in an hour. And I'm like, oh, I'm good at this. And so, you know, there you go. That's for one day. Let's do it tomorrow. And that's 3 months. I got really bad. And my parents, I didn't know this, but my parents were coming to Turlock looking for me. And it, like, you know, I just, they end up blocking me in and taking airs out of my tires. So they got me and they said, okay, well, you know what you're doing, your substance, we're going to get you help, you know, and we're going to send you to Bakersfield. It was a detox center. And it was St. Mary's Hospital. And we go in, my mom gives me a carton of cigarettes, and she's like, okay, please do not leave. You need to detox for 5 days. Please do not leave. I'm like, okay. And I was that really good student again, that chameleon. I'm perfectly fine. I'll do what you want me to do, but I know I'm going to do what I'm going to do in a minute. And so, of course, there's another fella that's in there for the same substance, and he's supposed to get out tomorrow, the next day, and I'll go with you. You know, and here I don't know this man. I don't know what his background is. I just know I'm going to get my next fix in 24 hours. That's all I cared about. And I end up leaving with a stranger danger and stayed with him at his apartment for like a week and did all his stuff. And when he was out, I'm like, okay, I need to go now. And so I was calling my mom up, hey, yeah, I don't know why I left, but can you come get me? And, you know, she hasn't talked to me in 6 days. Those are like the sick things I did to get that feeling, that fear. And she drove to Bakersfield at this guy's house and picked me up. She's like, what were you thinking? He could have killed you. I'm like, oh, I didn't think of that. Like, the thing is, like, I just want to get drunk. I didn't want to feel me. I'm not going to detox. So they babysat me for like a week and said, we need to send you, you know, to a rehab. You need to be in, like, people need to watch you. And it was at the Beacon House in Pacific Grove. And I walked in, and my parents said, you're doing the 28-day program. You're going to stay here. Please, you cannot leave. You cannot do this. And don't call your ex. And I was like, okay. And already knowing, I can't wait to drink again. Like, already pre-planning it. But I will read the big book. I will do the steps. I will do whatever you want me to do so I know I'm going to get my way. That's how of a fool I was. And the minute my parents leave, I'm calling my boyfriend, hey, 28 days, I'll see you. I'm going to take care of you. I was that kind of person that was the fixer. I'll get the guy. He can stay home. I'll bring the money, and I will take care of you. Because I thought I wasn't good enough. And I let my standards go really low. And I did the whole 28-day program. My parents said, congratulations. You cannot come back to Visalia because drugs are here. Alcohol's here. You need to stay in Monterey. And I'm like, okay. You can pay for me to stay here. And so they paid, you know, X amount of money for me to stay at this apartment close to the rehab. And so I did the I got two jobs. I worked full-time one and part-time the other. I got free donuts, and then I went and worked at a movie theater and got to see free movies and free popcorn. So I'm like, I'm good. So I did that for 6 months and saved all my money and went to meetings and, you know, got a sponsor and still was not convinced I had a problem, you know. And I would say, yes, I'm an alcoholic, I'm an addict, but I just could not wait to die. After I finally got enough money, I got a nice studio on the light on Lighthouse Avenue, and the first night walking home to my own apartment by myself, there's a liquor store across the street. I went in and bought a 40 and went home. The first night by myself, and knowing I'm not getting drug tested anymore, I'm not getting, you know, someone coming and checking on me, and I just said, I'm not an alcoholic. I can drink. I had a lot of issues with other substances. And then I had my boyfriend move in with me and ended up getting not even a week back into what I was doing before. And worse. I got fired from my job. The first job I ever worked, like, ever got fired. He just was like, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, me not showing up, me throwing up, me, you know, looking like crap. He just let me go. And I just, you know, it's all his fault, you guys, it's all you, it's not me. And during that time, I hid that my boyfriend was living with me. My parents were paying for my rent, my parents were paying for everything, and I'm saving up my money and not. I ended up finding out that I was 5 months pregnant, and I was half the size I am now. You know, didn't even know it. And I'm like, whoa. And that floored me. The first thing out of my mouth was, I'm not smart enough to be a mom. You know, and I can't do this. And I remember called my mom. I was at the beach on Lover's Point in Pacific Grove. I called her and I said, Mom, I am pregnant. I've been lying to you. I've been using and drinking, and I have my boyfriend here. And she just, good luck, and hung up. And I just remember shaking and thinking, wait a minute, they always stop and they bail me out. They always give me what I want. You know, they always give me things. You know, I didn't learn how to do my laundry until I was 18. I didn't understand that, you know, or cook. I mean, they always did things, you know, doing my homework, everything. And here I was in the car by myself, just shaking, did not know what to do, and scared shitless. Sorry, scared. And so I ended up moving in with my boyfriend's parents. You know, that was the first apartment place that I called the landlord and said, I don't have rent. I have nothing. I will have to pay you when I get the money, but I need to leave because I can't be here anymore. And she just was like, you do you, and you let me know when you're able to pay me. And we left, and I ended up going to Jackson, California. And that's where my boyfriend's parents were. And still was not enough, you know, thinking, yes, I'm going to have a baby. Everything's been great. Maybe a month, I still could not be clean and sober. I had my son, and, you know, today, thank you, Jesus, he is completely 100% healthy. You know, he is my miracle, no matter what, looking at him. But he was tested positive, and the CPS, they came in, and they said he was tested for, you know, this and this. And I'm like, oh, that's a good story. So I had a toothache, and they had to do, you know, the long, exaggerated, I had a root canal, I used my husband's bike, and I don't have a problem. Okay, you're fine, you can take your kid home. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. You know, and it was the lies. And, oh, well, you know, since you did test positive, you do need to do a six-month program showing, like, you know, you don't have any issues. I'm like, I don't have issues with anything. I'm perfectly normal. So 6 months, I was clean and sober, straight. You know, my ex could not hold it together for a week. He kept on drinking, and he tested positive, you know, dirty, and it was like, okay, stop. If you do it one more time, they're going to take our son. And he stopped. But even after, you know, the six-month program, I remember going to the courthouse with the judge, and here's my little six-month-old baby, and okay, you guys are fit parents. You sign up on this. Good job. You know, you're done with this. You don't have to worry about us anymore. I remember leaving, getting a car, and going to get drunk. That was our first, okay, what are we going to do? And that was it. That's how I learned, like, that was my go-to. the feeling of insecurity, you know, the feeling of anything. I wanted to avoid that hole. And so my parents at this time, they didn't know. I just told them we were taking baby classes to be smart parents. And they loved it. They're like, oh, do you need money? Do you need anything? Because at that time, they started talking to me after I had my son. They met Blake when he was 28 days old, and they just were in love with him, their first grandbaby. And they believed that we were clean and sober. So they said, come to Visalia. We have a beautiful condo. We have a car. You know, come start your life over. And we said, perfect. That lasted a month. You know, before he lost his job, my parents got him. And we got right back on what we were doing, but harder. I was too good to panhandle. You know, I was too good to do this. I decided, you know, our old, cute old neighbor would give us like $20 a day because we always asked him, and he was sweet. And he gave us the key. Just in case you don't hear from me, come. You have my permission to come inside and check on me. Well, of course, my mind went, when he left, I have permission to go in and see what he has. And I did that. I went in whenever he took off. I'm like, okay, give me. I can just go. And I would, you know, pawn off his stuff. I stole checks. Things I can't believe I did, even with my family, you know. My grandma, she was on hospice, and she tutored me throughout high school. And I would sneak into her house and steal and pawn all of her stuff and write checks to myself. And, you know, that came to a halt in February 14th, 2013. Cops came and arrested my husband and I for three felonies, two fraud counts and a home burglary. And that was the first time ever getting caught with the law. With all the stuff I've done, like, first time ever getting handcuffed, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't talk my way out of this one. My names were on the checks. And so I ended up going to jail. And I went for 7 days. That was the longest 7 days of my life. I'm good. I'm never going back. And my parents came to visit, and they say, what are you going to do? Are you going to take your husband or your son? And my parents had my son. And I said, where are the divorce papers at? And I was still that person when I saw my ex. Don't worry. This is just a time out for us. Let me get my shit together, and we'll be together. You know, that I'll take care of you. Just let's just buy the divorce papers. So I ended up, the judge said it would be 15 years, and my stomach dropped. Like, I couldn't think about being in jail for that long, and they reduced it. They took all the three felonies off and gave me a misdemeanor in commercial burglary, and I praise God today that I, you know, that I got reduced sentence, and I did 38 days house arrest. I did whatever the courts asked me to do, and I paid all my fines, everything. I completed it all, and during that time, the judge wanted to make sure I was a fit mom with my divorce, so I started going to AA meetings and had my cute pink paper and had the little secretary sign it, but then I'd go home and drink because I didn't have an issue with alcohol. But it was finally meeting someone, and I had to meet him for three times. He had to write a paper to the judge saying I was a fit mom, and the third session he's like, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? And when he said that, I just bawled. I couldn't hold it anymore because I would just tell him the sugar plum lies that it's all my family's fault. But finally, I came clean to him about everything. And he said, I want you to go to this meeting and find this woman. And I'd never go. And he's like, okay, she's going to call you. And so my sponsor called me. Well, she called me and she's like, okay, meet me at this meeting. We're going to talk. We're going to go from there. And, you know, I didn't want to be a part of. But, you know, I ended up, you know, the first year, I almost made it to a year. 2 weeks before, I relapsed. But that whole first year, I did not work the steps. I did not want to go to meetings. I didn't want to be a part of. I lied. I didn't want to read. I relapsed. I was miserable. And I finally jumped head foot, like, all in. And did whatever she said to do. And, you know, 5 years. Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I have a job. I've had a job. I'm a dispatcher at a plumbing company, and I've been there for 4 years consecutively. You know what I mean? I have a desk with computer. I'm sorry. You know, I bought my first car, and it's just the gratitude. You know, I've made amends with my family. You know, I just went on a family vacation. Every year we go, but this time, oh my goodness, that peace and serenity, they're all fucking nuts. And I'm like, they're like, oh, I have to get my whiskey, oh my, I have to do this, and I'm like, yeah. I get to accept that today. You know, I get to be me. I can look in the mirror and say, you are beautiful, you're smart, God loves you. You know, I got the spiritual connection, that awakening that they talk about in the big book. Ah, I get some chills. Like, God has everything planned out for a reason. And, you know, I put my total trust in Him. No matter what, I refuse to worry. You know, when I start worrying, I know that something's not aligned, and I pray about it, and I know there's a solution. I don't have to run from it. I don't have to change my number anymore. So, you know, I get to look forward. This program taught me how to have relationships. I never had girlfriends. I've never had healthy relationships. I have friendships, real friendships today that call me, that actually throw me birthday parties. That gets me. I'm tearing up because, you know, I just, you know, I have gym buddies. You know, I have, let's go hang out, let's go to the beach. Like, things that I would never think I could do. And today I get to wake up, and I love the book, you know, On Awakening, Let Us Think About the 24 Hours Ahead. We consider, you know, to divorce us from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. That was me. I was always pre-planning how I'm going to get what I want. And today, I get to go to bed. I'm retiring on this night. Was I resentful, dishonest, or afraid? I don't lie today. Like, I love checking that off. Did I lie? Do I owe someone amends? Nope. Yes. I was the biggest liar. I lied to myself. I mean, shoot. I so much. And today my son, he is the love of my life, you know. And I pray for his dad. His dad's still struggling in this disease. And, you know, his friend just OD'd. This is real. You know, this isn't funny. And it's scary because I'm like, all I can do is pray for him. And, you know, I pray for all you guys because I'm so glad you guys are here and, you know, the newbies. I mean, yes! It just brings back chills for me because, yeah, I feel so short. But it's exciting. I get to grow in this program. So, okay, I think we're good.